to No Shame in Our Game, where self-help meets community support. I am Lacey, your co-host, who's ready to jump into some Q&As, here with Sarah, who will be doing most of the A's, but, you know, it is what it is. Hi, Sarah.
Are you the Q and I'm the A?
Well, the problem is I'm pretty sure you have the Q's, too. So, like, I'm pretty.
And you are pretty. You have a cute little pink bow in your hair. That's making me so happy right now. Yes. So last week we talked about holiday mindset, which I actually got a lot out of myself. I'm hoping some listeners did too. And I'm really excited to help people through that process that we made up in real time. And then we have some actual Q&As that are specific to holidays. And as much as I could go into an hour-long deep dive into each of these, I'm going to really try and keep this like a brief overview. So the first one, my friend Molly, I said, do you have any holiday Q&As? And she said, oh my goodness, yes. And we were on a FaceTime call and she shows me her kids' toy room. And she said, I don't know what to do. This toy room is full. She has two kids. And for her, December is a mix of not just Christmas gift gifting, but birthdays as well. So a lot of stuff comes in during Christmas time. First of all, let me say, Lacey, does this ring true with you where you kind of get a little tense with gift giving season coming up and you know how much is in your house? Does that resonate?
Yeah, I get maybe a little sassier about it. Like, well, they're not playing with what's here anyway. Why are we getting them more stuff to play with? And that's more of my grumpus coming out. But yeah. Yeah, I don't think I think ahead enough for it is what I'm realizing. Like, oh, yeah, I feel that. I feel it in the moment when I'm packing the bags to bring stuff back to the house. I'm like, where the hell is this all going to go? I don't even know.
Okay, so you know the discomfort. You just feel it in real time.
Yeah.
This is something I realized once we moved into the house that we're in, because there's a lot more space, which means a lot more stuff accumulates. That is the double-edged sword of having a larger living space, is you just have more stuff. And my kiddo's birthday is in the fall. And so what I learned was the end of summer was a great time because out where we live, do you have free piles in Ohio?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's a big thing out here where you put stuff at the end of your driveway. You see it kind of all the time when you drive around here. So free piles get really popular when the weather's nice, so not too hot, not too cold. So like late summer, early fall is perfect. And so what I would do was get my free pile with my neighbor and we would pull out all those things that aren't being played with as much and pass them along. And I saw that as the time to basically make room because I knew birthday gifts were coming in and then I knew Christmas gifts would be coming in. So I would intentionally take that time to put those out there. I know this goes into like a whole decision tree about like, how do you decide what to get rid of, what to sell, what to donate? That's a whole other episode, which we have actually touched on previously. But then my friend asked, well, do I have the kids be a part of this? And I said, yes, because I strongly feel that we are raising our children to know how to manage their own homes. We're raising future home CEOs. I think it's important to have a conversation about why. Why do we need to get rid of stuff? Well, if you want to receive more new, you got to make room. It physically has, like, there's just a practicality to it. It physically has to go someplace. Make a limit or a parameter. Like, we need to get rid of 10 toys or have a box. We need to fill up this box, right? And have that conversation about why we're doing it. And also, I learned this from a childhood educator when my son was little, which is there's kind of a fine like a window of the number of toys that's ideal. You want to have choices, but if you have too many toys, the kids actually don't engage because it's overwhelming. So there's also just like this practicality to like, is there just too much damn stuff? And because that was one of the things of like, I hear parents all the time. We go over to so-and-so's house and they play with this toy that we have at home, but they never use it at home. It's like, yeah. Well, maybe it's just the selection is different.
Yeah.
Does that feel true at all to you, Lacey?
Yes. Yes. I'm also over here thinking about my own situation. I have the most sentimental children in the world. And so getting rid of things is very hard for them. They're getting better at it. They are getting better at it. And so the idea of preemptively getting rid of things, I don't think would resonate with them. But what I'm thinking is maybe once we have the new toys, we can maybe put them aside at one point and say, oh my gosh, we're so excited for these. We have to make room for these. What can we get rid of? And then you can play with these more. Like, I think they'll need the motivation. That may be a good route for us.
Well, and that's great to know. Yeah, do what works best for your household. Like I said, I do this in fall because that's when free piles are easy. That makes sense for me. I mean, depending on the size of your home and family and your energy, this could be something you do once a month, once every 3 months, or yeah, once the need arises and you're physically holding the new items. But again, I think it's really important that we explain to our kids why we're doing this. I actually am running into this right now with my closet. I went on, there's this thrift store that I love, shout out Esther's in Omaha, and I got so many clothes there that I actually had to borrow a suitcase from my dad because I could not bring back all the stuff I had. But I'm like, you know what? I cannot put these clothes into my closet until I take out the same number of pieces from my closet. They physically won't fit in my closet. There is just, you know that thing like where you're shoving something onto the curtain rod? Like,
absolutely.
Not the curtain rod, the hanging, what do you call it? The clothes rod? Like, you're like trying to like shove it and then you're just like, you're wrinkling it and you're ruining it. Like, I physically don't have any more room. So I have to get, you know, like 20 pieces out. So I could go deeper, but I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah.
Do you think that addresses that fully, Lissy?
I think so. Okay. I think so. And there were a couple of different ideas of how to approach it there too. Yeah. Look at us.
And we'd love to hear from you all if you have thoughts or ideas too. Okay. This is a conversation, not a one stop. You have to do it this way. It's a back and forth. So going on to our next Q&A. Oh, holiday decorations. Something that comes up often, and we talked about this in our last episode, how much Lacey loves holiday decorations. Right. And it's so probably so much easier to bring them out and put them up. That energy and momentum to put them up and versus the energy and momentum to put them away at the end of the season. Does that feel different?
This is honestly, Sarah, I'm about to brag about myself. This is the one thing that like I have figured out, that it is not hard to put them away. We have specific storage containers. We have specific things for these things. So putting them away is not as much of a hassle because I know where everything goes. Now, the hard part for me is the physicality of bringing like bins in and out is a real bad idea for me because it's just going to tear me down. So I am relying on old bros to do that part for me. That's really the hardest part for me. But like we have specific ornament bins that we put stuff in. So no, honestly, it's not as hard. Like I'm over here like, no, I remember doing it just fine last year. And that's why, it's because we actually have the storage and the right kind of storage for what we do.
Well, and I love that you said that because that was actually going to be my number one response or suggestion is if you have the right containers and you have the number of containers you need for your decorations, like first examine like where's the hard part? Is it the emotional, I don't want to bring it down? Or is it the physical, like I don't know where to put this once I take it down? That's something I've done over the years, too. I mentioned how I have a very specific outside setup that I like to do. It's very simple, but it brings me joy. I have, do you know those blue IKEA bags?
Yes, absolutely.
They're the best. Do you know the ones that zip up? They have opened ones and then they have zip up ones. All of my outdoor decorations go in this big blue zip up IKEA bag because they tend to like shed a little bit because that some of it's like garland and they all go in there. So there's no guessing. It all fits in there because that's where I pulled it out. So there's the first element of what I'd say is examine, do you know where it's all going once it comes down? And just like with the kids stuff, if you had more decorations come in and that's what you're stressing about, and it's the equivalent of trying to shove that hanger with that shirt into the closet, like maybe you get to pick two things to donate or get rid of. So see if that's your issue. The other thing I was going to recommend. Oh, Lacey, yes.
I
you have an idea.
This is the one place that I'm like, oh my gosh, I do well with this. So The other thing that I have really adopted, especially in the past couple of years, is not everything needs to go up at once and come down at once. I have gotten okay with things being in progress. So that may be like, I only took down half the ornaments on the tree. That's just fine. You know what I mean? Like, that has been really, really good for me to be able to be like, progress over completion. Not even perfection, just completion. Because it has enabled me to actually make that progress. So yeah, those bins that we're talking about may be sitting in the living room for a week, but it gets done. So that's better than it just never happening.
I think we're having a mind meld right now, because that was going to be my second point. Marathon versus relay, which is something I utilize all the time with myself and with clients, which is just like you said, is it not getting done because you feel like you have to do it all at once? So like you said, and doing it in pieces. And this is what I do too. I bring up all of my boxes that the ornaments go in. I have these, again, they're from IKEA. They hold all the ornaments. So I know that they're all going to fit back in. I bring them up. And honestly, sometimes the boxes sit there. And then sometimes I get the motivation to do one box. Sometimes I get the motivation to do the second box. But you know what I always do? I always take down all the ornaments. And then they'll sit by the top of the stairs until I carry them down. And then they have their very specific spot on the shelf. But I leave up my tree with the white lights. So it's like in sections, right? Like, yeah. I take the ornaments down. And then I enjoy the white lights for a while. And then at some point, I'm like, okay, it's February. Let's take down the... But yeah, I do it in... So break it down. This is something that we talk about in home management for everyone, is breaking down things. Or is it home management for kids? What do we talk about? Chunks?
Both, yeah.
So taking something that feels big and making it those tiny building block steps. Until you find, I mean, we talked about a box of ornaments. What if it's just taking down one ornament? Like, honestly, making it as small as possible so that that step is so easy. How could you not do it, basically? So, and then some other people on thread said that for the decorations, one woman said she has a housekeeper that she adores. And that's just part of their yearly routine, that this person helps her get out the decoration and then helps her put them away.
Good for them.
Listeners know one of our participants, Sarah, has chronic illness as well. And that was one of my first things with her when I started one of my first businesses, was helping her put Christmas decorations away. And yeah, so we talk about time, energy, and money. If you've got the money to hire somebody, shoot, just find a mom who's got some extra time in her hands, or a college neighbor who's still home on break. Like, maybe just pay somebody to help you. Maybe pay your kids to help you. I don't know. Do what works for you.
Yeah, I think using your resource, thinking about your resources is really, because you heard me say, I don't have the energy, but a lot of times I have the time. So if I can get myself to a place with the time and energy that Joe can set me up for success, we do that.
Life doesn't come with an instruction manual, but it should come with people who've got your back. That's the Joyful Support Village, where self-help meets community support. Get access to courses, worksheets, and step-by-step resources that can actually work for your real life. Join daily conversations where people share what's helping them. Connect in regular gatherings with experts and others in the trenches of life. It's where you can stop trying to figure out everything alone and start moving forward with support that fits you. It's free to start, and paid memberships begin at just $10 a month. Join us at village.joyfulsupportmovement.com to join. Give what you can, take what you need. See you in the village.
Well, we also have some other ones that we've kind of touched on in our mental side of things, of like boundaries and family dynamics. But I would like for us to, like, what does that look like? How do you say no when it's something you don't want to do? You sat down, you did your, this is what I look forward to, this is what I don't. I mean, I know I gave kind of some overarching advice of, you know, being really honest about what it does for you and that kind of stuff. But I do want to, do you have any other things to add?
Oh, before we talk about how to say no?
Oh, no. Like, I don't. Oh. I know that. Maybe that. Sorry, that wasn't clear.
Oh, yeah. I think, and I mean, I say this again from a place of, I have had to learn this myself and am still learning. It's very different with each specific person that I have to do this with, but it's first being clear with myself. What about this is making me angry, upset, tense, frustrated, depleted? Like, first you have to really identify, like, is hosting, like maybe you're having a bunch of people come in from out of town and stay in your house. And you're like, I actually love it for 3 days. And then after the third day, that's when it goes downhill. Or is it, I don't mind if one person stays with me for 5 days, but I can't have five people stay with me for 5 days. Like getting really clear and then getting really clear on what is the ask. It's the equivalent of going into a grocery store and saying, I'm hungry. Well, that's pretty broad. Like really getting clear. Am I hungry for something savory, sweet? Well, we're always hungry for something sweet. Do I want something crunchy? Do I want something like a smoothie that's quick to eat? Like, get really clear on your ask. So then when you come to the table, asking and expressing in an emotionally level way. I think one of the hardest things that I've got to learn is when you're emotionally charged about something and then you're over the top, the communication comes out as emotion instead of what the clear ask is. I don't like all of you always expecting me to always host everybody for, you know what I mean? Like, then you're not even hearing what you're just like, oh, that person's pissed and they just want us out, period. What have you found, Lacey, when you're expressing? And I mean, this must be an interesting for you because with the chronic illness, you've probably had to get really clear on your asks.
Yeah. I'm realizing though that holidays really aren't that different when it comes to the asks for me of like, for example, this weekend is Joe's mom is having a 70th birthday party and they're having it at her house. And a lot of times our solution to if I'm not doing well is just Joe and the older two kids go. And his mom sent a message and it became very clear to me, oh, she wants me and Violet there. And that not to be our solution. And so she was like, hoping you all can make it. We're going to set aside this room for Lacey and Violet that they can stay in and nobody else will go in. And I was like, oh, first of all, she was trying to solve the problem for me. But it told me, it's important to her that we're all there and we don't rely on that solution. And so I think for me, maybe it's easier because it's an ongoing conversation about where I am and what I need. I'll be honest too. Sometimes it's I'm not great at the being honest with myself part. So my first Thanksgiving after my chronic illness, when I was at my worst, we went and I probably shouldn't have gone. At a certain point, I was just laying almost passed out the entire time in a different part of the space as everybody else. So I think the more you can have these conversations every day, the less huge holidays will be, I guess, is where I'm at. That's not super helpful for right now, but I think that's, as we were talking, I'm like, well, it's not that huge of a deal for me because I have to do this all the time.
Well, and that brings up a good point that if you weren't brought up in a family or whatever your upbringing was, if you weren't brought up in a way of clearly expressing your feelings in a calm manner, then you honestly have no framework for it. And so if you know that's something you want to do, yeah, just practicing saying it with a friend, like just rehearsing it, basically. Like your brain doesn't have the pathway for communicating clearly and then asking. I always laugh so hard. One time I said something to my husband about healthy boundaries and I was explaining them. And he just said, I know every one of the words you just said, but I don't understand. So like if there's no foundation for it, it's not going to happen. So first, like, if this sounds good to you, but you've never done it, you know, there's resources to help learn how to say that. But to your point about being honest more often, when we had that family member come stay with us just recently, I realized one of the things I really get stressed out about when people come is food. I love asking, like, what can I have on hand for you that you want, you know, like almonds or yogurt? But making a meal, I feel like is something I quote unquote have to do every night that they're staying with us. And I'm up for doing it probably once and then I'm peace out. And I was very clear. I just said, hey, I do love to cook, but not all the time. So just so you know, I have one meal planned And then here are some easy ideas, you know. And she was very open, like, yeah, that's cool, that's fine. So, and that happened with Thanksgiving too, with the turkey, of like, I was very clear, hey, I don't love cooking a turkey because there's so much demand on the oven, you know? So yes, like you said, the more you can practice doing that and then working up to maybe the people you have the more intense relationships, which honestly, I'm still working on in some areas of my family as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, you heard me say it in real time of like, this is something that's happening in our world this weekend. And I am so grateful that his mom was like, hey, expressing, I mean, she was trying to solve the problem and that kind of stuff. And if she would have just said, I really want you guys there, how can we make it happen? That also would have been great too. I don't necessarily think 2 years ago we would have been able to do that. But because I've had to get so good at this, this, and this, I think it's created more opportunity for people to do that with us. I feel like we didn't do enough cues. Was there any that we didn't get to that you wanted to get to?
Well, I feel like we touched on some solid cues, mm-hmm. and we're always open to hear more from our listeners. So if you have a solid cue that you want an A, or if you've already figured out an answer to one of your own questions, you want to share it. This is for you, but part of a community. So please share whatever you have to give.
Yeah, get more direct cue and A's in the village. I want to ask one of these questions for both of us. And that is, where do I hide presents in my house? Okay, because I know my children will be listening to this. I doubt your son will be listening to this. I feel like we can say it. One thing that I do want to admit is that I am a snooper, so I did find my presents as a child. We recently talked about how I can't handle surprises and not knowing, and so that should surprise no one. Anyway, we have a closet that's right outside our bedroom door that rarely gets opened, so we put it in there. I live in fear for that month where things are in there, that'll be the one time the kids are like playing and try to hide in there, and they go in there. And there's something about our hallway that it sounds like someone's right outside of our door, even if they're down the hallway. So for about a month, I just have anxiety because there's no lock on that door. But there it is.
Yeah, I think knowing where your kids, what their personality is and how much they like to snoop. Yeah, I have a very boring closet that, yeah, there would be no reason to snoop in there because it's pretty darn boring. So I hide a lot of stuff in there. And then there's also this area in the basement that is out of the way and is also like, it's, you know, it's like that creepy part of the basement where it's like a little too dark and too many. So yeah, those are my two places.
Were you a snooper, Sarah? You born a snooper for you?
I was a snooper.
You were? That surprises me so much.
I was. Yeah, my mom, God bless her, kept them in her closet next to her shoes. So
I will say, this shows you how diabolical I can be if I want to be. I figured out, we are a very Christmas list heavy family. So I figured out I could look at my Christmas list that my mom kept and see what was crossed off. And then that's how I wouldn't even need to really look for the presents. I could just look at what was crossed off on the Christmas lists, which then incorporates more than just our house, but like other people giving stuff. So sorry, Mom.
On that note, really quickly, I've learned to try to throw my son off the scent because we put presents under the tree right when they're wrapped, but he has a list. And so if it's an item on the list that you'd be able to identify easily from the wrapping, I will throw off decoys with weight and sound and size.
Look at you.
I actually love that part. It feels like a little bit of a prank. I love that. All right. Well, we have to say thank you, Lacey, because we have a hungry girl waiting for you. So thank you, Lacey.
Violet. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. I hope this gave you a little bit of permission, a little bit of possibility, and maybe even a spark of, oh, I can try that. Remember, we're not looking for the right step, just your next step, and you don't have to figure it alone. We're in it together. If you do have a question for a future episode, whether it's about home management, budgeting, boundaries, gift getting, etiquette, whatever, literally anything, and you're not sure where to turn, submit it at joyfulsupportmovement.com/submit. And if you want more support like this, come join us in the Joyful Support Village. It's where the conversation continues, and you'll find a whole community of people navigating the messy middles of life right alongside you. We'll catch you next time. No shoulds, no shame, just possibilities.